a friend of mine who's also a teacher, an educator, an evangelist, and a lot of other things, always starts a sermon or a message with the words, "The Bible is the inspired word of God." It is. And because it is, we need God's inspiration in order to really understand what he's trying to tell us through his word. Because we have the Bible in human languages, but the truth, the concepts, the principles there are the same wherever we go. Let's pray to him. Lord, as we study your word right now, we ask for a double portion of the presence of your spirit here among us and in us to open our eyes that we may hear your voice and see your face and know that you love us very dearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 5, we're going to read a very short section here. Some of you have already figured out what the message is about today, the man who walked with God. Because there aren't too many in the Bible who are described that way. Genesis chapter 5, and let's read together from verse 18. Very early on in the Bible and in the history of the world. And if you don't have a Bible, well, since last week, there's something a little different in our sanctuary here. There are Bibles in every pew. So you can just reach forward and pull one out and join us. Don't sit there and vegetate and look around and stare around. Read. It makes a double impression. Chapter 5, beginning with verse 18. Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. Let's pause there for a minute. In someone's mind here this morning, you're thinking, wow, that sure is a long time. Is that real, or did they calculate different? I don't think people can live that long. You're already doubting. What did we say this book is? The inspired word of God. Not the man, not the pastor, not even the denomination. It's God's word. And if he said Jared lived another 800 years and then died at 962 years old, then that's how old he was when he died. Because from the beginning of the book, and the morning and the evening were the first day, were the second day, were the third day, were the month, were the year. And that hasn't changed. That's a long time to live. We're good if we make it to 80 or 90 or 100. If you make 110, you're going to be on TV all over the world. Hey, there's this guy, this person over here that has, and we think, wow, how wonderful. You look at Jared, it says he lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. 800 years, totaling 962 years. And we think 100 years old is old? That's a teenager by Bible standards. And there was already sin in the world at that time. But it took a while for it to do its degenerative work to get us to where we are today. Verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years, and he begot, what's his name? Methuselah. Just checking if you're reading along there. He begot Methuselah. If somebody's next to you is texting, jab them with your pointed part of your elbow here. You have my permission to do that. Let's pay attention. After he begot Methuselah, what did he do? He walked with God. It doesn't mean he was not walking with God necessarily before, but something happened in his life. Let's read. He walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. That's not very long compared to the rest of the people on that list. Right? But the Bible says, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. It does not say he ran with God. It does not say he jogged with God. It doesn't say he swam, bicycled, bungee jumped with God. What did he do? Walked with God. Every one of you in this room here this morning got here because either you or somebody with you walked and brought you here. It's very simple. There may be a few who came to church this morning walking. I did, all the way from my house. That means more than half the people know where I live. Have mercy. Okay. That was his legacy, the man who walked with God. It doesn't say a whole lot about this man, and you know, he's not the only Enoch in the Bible. There was another one from that disgruntled group of people, the descendants of Cain, and we don't want to talk about him this morning. This Enoch had an extra special relationship, connection, and friendship with God. Something that God wants to share with every one of his children. Did you follow that? Thank you. He had a special friendship with God. That's what that walking was all about. And God wants each and every one of us to have that. Genesis 6 verse 9. It says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. And Noah did what? Walked with God. I hope your Bible is still open, because we're going to be doing some studying here this morning and this afternoon, because I'm not going to finish at 12. It'll be a few minutes over, but we'll do our best we can. And Micah 6:8. What does Micah 6:8 say? He has shown the old man what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Well, what is it? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. And you and I can also walk with God. And I hope we're already doing that, walking with God, one step at a time, one day at a time. Enoch had that walk with God, and his name literally means dedicated. I like that. There's some other meanings in there too, but I lifted that. His name means dedicated. Look at Hebrews now. Now we go to the New Testament, and the sound of pages is lovely. It's music in the sanctuary during worship. Hebrews chapter 11, and we want to read verses 5 and 6. This is the great hallmark of faith, that chapter of those who were faithful to God. And you read their stories, and very few of them had a very easy time of it. Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, how did Enoch walk with God? By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, which means he's still alive. And he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who half-heartedly seek him. Huh? Diligently seek him. What's the difference between half-hearted and diligent? Ask the pilot of your airplane next time you fly somewhere. You know, are you diligent or half-hearted? Would you get on the plane if you said, I've always been half-hearted. I failed the pilot's test and I only got in here because I have some forged documents. Would you stay on the plane? Well, he'd never get that far anyway, hopefully. Back to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 25. This is a message this morning, but it is also a Bible study. Chapter 4, verse 25. Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God had appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. After Cain killed his brother Abel, he was banished to the land of Nod, which means wandering. And that's what he did the rest of his life. He wandered. He could have lived in a house and said, I lived here all of my life. What do you mean I'm wandering? He's wandering because his relationship had no substance with God. And there are many who are wandering today. They might be standing as stiff as a doornail, a doorknob, but they're wandering in their heart. Don't know where they're going or where they're coming from. We don't want to do that. We want to walk with God. Cain's descendants became the people estranged from God and in rebellion against him. Why? They did not walk with God. All of them became descendants of the wanderer. Most of the planet today is still wandering. And then God blessed Adam and Eve with another son to fill the void. that Cain and Abel had left in their hearts. Now, sometimes you may think, well, you know, Cain killed his brother, so Adam and Eve must have really hated and detested him. He was still their son. Remember, Adam and Eve experienced two losses during that tragedy. Two sons were gone. But God gave them another one. Seth, which means seed, appointed, or compensation. Interesting. Seth was a token of God's continued grace upon mankind. His continued grace. And you say, well, they have grace in the Old Testament? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that was not his wife's name. Thank you. It's the condition that he found himself in. Through Seth's line of descendants would come salvation for mankind. And not only for the time of Noah, but in the person of Jesus Christ, as you continue going down and you and I cash in on the benefit of that. Thank God for the faithful in God's word, like Seth and his descendants. Now, Enoch walked with God and he never died, but he was translated based on Christ's future sacrifice on the cross that would pay for his sins. Really? I thought Enoch was such a good guy that he went to heaven on his own merits. Mm-mm. None of us leave this planet on our own merits, only on the merits of Christ. All through the Old Testament, it was always about the Messiah, the Savior who would come. From the time that God spoke to Adam and Eve before they were banished from the garden and said, I will send your seed, the one who will be the Savior and who will crush the serpent's head. That was good news. Very, very good news. Enoch entered heaven, and it must have been a thrill for him to walk by Jesus' side. I can see him now. I'm walking by his side. And to be welcomed by angels, the first from among mankind to enter that place. Wow. Well, we're back in Genesis 5, verse 26. Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. He begot Lamech. We're going to say something about Methuselah in a minute here. The Bible tells us that in those days, men began to call upon the name of the Lord, as the descendants of Seth began to see the sinfulness in their own hearts and the growing evil in the world around them, rebellion. Same stuff we experience today. Sometimes Christian parents, and they have children who go astray, who choose to wander into the world, and that's like a jab to the heart, and they pray, and they pray, and they pray, looking forward to the day when their hearts will be turned back to God. Prayer became an intimate part of their lives. They began to call on the name of the Lord. Thank God they began to call on Him. When are we going to begin, if we haven't already begun? Calling on the name of the Lord. He says, before you call, I will answer. He didn't say, even if you don't call, I will answer. Before you call, I will. It's like picking up the phone and dialing a number, and you don't know what happened first, the ring or the hello. And God is there. When men began to call on the Lord, prayer is always critical for God's people in every age, and we need it to survive and to function in the growing tide of evil in our day. Prayer is the key ingredient to spiritual revival, which we have been studying this quarter in Sabbath school, and which hopefully will not become just another study guide on the shelf when it's all done. I hope we will experience the revival that we're studying about. That's what happened. They began calling on the name of the Lord. There was a religious revival way back then. As far as I know, that's the first one that I read about in the Bible. It doesn't call it that, but that's what it was. Anytime people's hearts are turned back to God in all seriousness, that's a revival. The people before the flood were not backwards, as some may think, walking around with sticks and robes. You know, they didn't know anything, man, and they, you know, they had to have a torch with rags on the end of the thing. That's way back. The development of man, you see, was opposite of what evolutionary theory teaches. Evolution teaches we all came from slime. And we're getting better all the time, but every time I wake up and look around and listen to the news or watch online, I see people turning into slime. Are we evolving backwards? Oh yeah, if you want to use that word. People in those days were of greater stature than we are today. They were of longevity than we were today. 969 years was Methuselah's age when he died. 962 of Jared. That's a long time. How much information can you accumulate? Well, they didn't really have that much information back then. It's mostly been in the past 100 years. I'm not talking about that. 960-something, 800-and-something years. How much experience and wisdom do you garner during that time? Interesting. These people were not stupid. We will probably be surprised to find out when we get to heaven just how many things that they accomplished. Who knows what they had in mind and where they were going, as a part of the reason that God says the thoughts of their hearts and their imaginations were evil continually. What were they up to? Maybe the Lord had to step in and say, I'm not going to let them wipe out the world. I'm going to clean it up. And then the flood came. Human race began in the image of God, not as brute beasts living in caves and communicating with grunts. Sin has degraded and degenerated man mentally, morally, and physically. We need a Savior. God's image has been almost eradicated from the human race. The antediluvians, they were closer to creation than we are. So we need to remember, they weren't stupid. They weren't uncivilized, so to speak. But they definitely had the thoughts of their minds evil continually. Very sharp minds they had. So that must have been some really slick evil. Whatever they did it more energetically, on a larger scale than we could ever do. Whatever that may have been. But the antediluvians squandered their advantages and perverted their thinking until the only remedy that God had was to cleanse the earth with a flood. That was the only resort to which he could turn. Can you imagine what's hidden under these short references in the Bible of what went on back then? And God has watched it all throughout the history of the world and has seen it all and remembers it all. You and I, we only know what the history books tell us and what we see happening right now. And that's a blessing. If God could suddenly download, bring the heavenly hard drive and plug it into our brain and say, here, let me fill the other 9/10 with what's happened in the world, I think my head would explode, if not my heart. Can you imagine what it does to him, a sinless, perfect God? But the testimony of Enoch's life was that he walked with God. In an age when it was extremely difficult and totally unfashionable to do so, his close walk with God began at the age of 65. You can say, well, that's retirement age. So is it righteousness by retirement? No. Remember, he was a youngin', just a kid. In those days, at an early age, and the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 12:1, you can write it down, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come, and it spells out what all of that will entail. And you say, well, it's too late for me, I'm not a youth anymore. Put it this way, remember now before you get any older, because 10 years from now you're going to look back and say, boy, it sure was nice when I was 35, 45, 55. Wish I could go back. And some people say, I don't want to go back. Mm-mm. I've had enough of that stuff. Enoch had to go against the powerful current of society in order to walk with God. And he did it for 300 years. What's our problem? What excuse can we well, Lord, you don't understand, man. This is 2013 and school shootings and all that. I mean, it's very, very... What is our problem? He did it for 300 years. And don't forget, we're going to read something here if you want to hold your hand in Genesis. We're going back. 2 Timothy 3, I could just say it, but I think we need to read this one. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we want to look at verse 12. it says, yes, and all who desire to live godly, that means walk with God, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer what? Persecution. Does that mean those in New Testament times forward, or does that mean at all times? You read between the lines and connect the scriptures and you find out walking with God for 300 years in a world, chapter 6 of Genesis says the thoughts of their mind were evil continually. Living a godly life, those who would live godly life will suffer persecution. Enoch was persecuted for 300 years. Is it safe to say that? That's what the Bible says. But he walked with God and did not allow that experience of whatever he experienced to turn him aside. Perhaps the awesome responsibility of raising his children in an age of apostasy and rebellion helped him to put his full trust in God and in the promise of the coming Savior. Now Enoch found in God all that his soul hungered for. You remember that song, some of the older ones here, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus"? Remember that song? So he determined to get as close to God as he could, one step at a time, and inspiration tells us that he walked as if he were already in heaven. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 87. That's way in the beginning of the book. The greater the existing iniquity, the more earnest was his, Enoch's, longing for the home of God. While still on earth, he dwelt by faith in the realms of light. But Enoch was not so heavenly minded as to be of no earthly good, as the saying goes. Because Enoch, we find, reading in through inspiration, lived a life with a principle we called outpost evangelism. He lived outside of the heavy concentration of people because he knew for him and his children that wasn't good. But he didn't say, yeah, those people down the hill there, look at those lights. Someday they're going to burn, you know, and stay on the hill living like a monk. He would go down and sometimes even bring those who are interested back to his retreat place and teach them from the Word of God. And throughout the history of Seventh-day Adventism, there have been people who have done and still are doing that type of outpost evangelism. I didn't bring the quote with me, or maybe I did. No, I don't want to go there. You know, in the spirit of prophecy, Ellen White mentions Japan more than once. And in one of the two most important quotes that I garnered, she says, what needs to be done in Japan is outpost self-supporting evangelism. Wow. Church going down like this today. Tithing going down, baptism going down, secular world, all this other stuff. Enoch, he walked with God in a time that was increasingly rebellious and secular and was able to do his work until the Lord took him to heaven. Is there a connection? I believe there is. Worth a second look, but that's another topic for another time. Enoch was God's prophet. And you thought about him as a prophet? Walking with God? Well, I thought he was just a real nice guy. No, he was a prophet. To him, the promise of the second coming of Jesus was revealed in Jude 14 and 15. Now you want to turn way back just before Revelation there in the New Testament. And I'm rushing as fast as I can go here. Jude, it has only one chapter. We want to read verse 14 and 15. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam. The what from Adam? Remember that. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these people also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. That's a lot of ungodliness. And he prophesied of the future when the Lord came, we would be in an ungodly time. We're there. Paul called it perilous times. Dangerous, not only to yourself physically, but to your spiritual health. Because the biggest danger in the time we live in of mass communication saturation with media. You know what one of the biggest dangers is? Apathy. Anybody here this morning? Apathetic? Yeah, I've heard that all before. Next. When do we get out of here? I'm hungry. Apathy. Laodicea. It existed in the days of Enoch. But Enoch walked with God. He was out of step with everybody else. How many of you have been to Japan? Could I see your hands here? Okay. It's somebody like this. Ooh, put it up there. Have any of you tried riding the mass transit trains like Tokyo and so forth during rush hour? Now let's see your hands. You're crazy. Oh, yeah, I have to raise mine too. I couldn't help it. Just imagine the rush hour where they actually hire people who are called pushers. It has nothing to do with drugs. What they do is stand there and a train comes in and that train's got to leave on time. So they push people into the train so the doors can close. And if you're on that train, you're not going to move until the train arrives at the next station and the doors open again. Whatever position you're in, you're staying in that position until you get there. So if you were, I'm not till 5 stations, so this bag is heavy. I'm putting it on the shelf. Guess where you stay till the next station? How you doing? Have I used my, that's the way it is. Packed with people. Now, escalators in these stations. And I'm purposely building a picture here. You can barely move on the platform. Now, try walking up the escalator, the down escalator, during rush hour with all those people. You think they're going to be happy? If anything, they'll look at you and say, "What, are you nuts? Are you an idiot? What are you doing? You know, take the other side. Why are you coming up the down escalator?" And yet, to walk godly in an ungodly time with ungodly people, we just read it here, was way harder than walking up a down escalator during the peak rush hour in Tokyo. 300 years. That was Enoch. You think there was any discouragement involved? He was human. Oh, there must have been. Days when he thought, why? But then God would remind him why, and he would walk. Enoch walked especially close to God from the time that Methuselah was born. Methuselah lived how long? 969. Yeah, 969. 969 years. He was the oldest man who ever died. Enoch is the oldest man in history since he never died and still lives in heaven. He's thousands of years old, but has partaken of immortality, so it doesn't really matter, does it? But he started here. You and I will partake of immortality in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and live for eternity with Christ, but we started it here. So he's another symbol of you and I, particularly those who are able to be translated, go to heaven without tasting death. Some have calculated that Methuselah died. Get this now. Methuselah died, according to their calculations. I didn't get this from Scripture. Okay, he died 7 days before the coming of the great flood. 7 days. And you think, Methuselah, why now? I mean, a few more days, you could have died on the ark. And they could have buried you at sea, or something. Why did you die now? I'll tell you why. Because his name literally means, when he dies, judgment. Or to put it another way, when he dies, it shall come. Remember, who was Methuselah's father? Enoch, the man who walked with God. Why did he give him a name like that, that every time somebody said, "Hey, Mark," or "Hey, Bill," what they were really saying is, "Hey, when he dies, it shall come." Every time they didn't, maybe they gave him a nickname. "Hey, Meth." That one doesn't go very good today. How about Thuselah? Thuselah. No. Methuselah. When he dies, judgment. And then he died. Noah had been preaching. 120 years that a flood was coming. And he wasn't just preaching, he was doing something about it, something unheard of, something that people thought he was nuts. My imagination runs away with me and says, it must have been a central point of entertainment where people would plan their summer vacations around. Are we going to go check out Noah's Ark this year? We were just there 2 years ago. What's the deal? Well, we see how much more he built. Yeah, okay, let's go. And there it is. Oh, look, there's another 10 feet on the end. And it's higher up there too. And there, listen to him. You get up there and this man with a white beard, you know, too many artist pictures, I guess. And he would get up and give his message. 120, that was the longest evangelistic series in the history of the planet. He gave altar calls. He must have. And I'm sure during that time there were people who went to their graves saved. Only 8 lived on the ark. But, well, how do you know that, Pastor? I'll tell you. Methuselah died before he could get on the ark. The son of Enoch, his father, was the one who walked with God. Gave him a 300-year-long example. Something must have rubbed off. And then disappeared because God took him. How could you say, my father was such a righteous man, such a fair man, and he was such a close friend of God that God just took him to heaven? He's gone now. Oh, well. More like, I want to be where he is when the time comes. Methuselah. And so he died, and the flood did come. Noah preached a message of righteousness, of repentance, and of coming judgment to the antediluvians as he built the ark. Every nail, they had nails? Oh yeah. Every sound of the saw, you know, every tool hammering was speaking mercy, salvation, grace, grace. But probation eventually closed for their world just as it will close for our world. Enoch was the 7th generation from Adam. We just read that, right? 7 being the number of completion, perfection. Now, if it's true that Methuselah died 7 days before the flood, you can see God's hand is all through this. 7, 7, 7, everywhere. Enoch's walk with God was timely, and it speaks to believers today, to you and me. Enoch walked with God when crime and violence were demoralizing society, just like today. He walked with God when morality was out and anything vile and perverted and lawless was in, just like today. Even in the form of entertainment. By the way, entertainment literally means to come in, possess, and hold in that position. Maybe that's why we look like zombies when we watch TV. Devil's got us right there. Enoch walked with God in a post-Eden era. Just as you and I are walking with God and can walk with God in this so-called post-Christian era. Oh yeah, that's what they call it. Enoch walked with God and prayed when praying men were hard to find. By faith, by prayer, Enoch clung to God. And that is how believers today can and must cling to Him. I quote page 85, Patriarchs and Prophets. The closer the connection with God, the deeper was the sense of his own weakness and imperfection. To him, prayer was as the breath of the soul. He lived in the very atmosphere of heaven. So Enoch's walk refers to how he lived his life. And God requires every person to walk with him. Amos 3:3, it says, Amos 3:3, you can write it down. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? And when the Bible asks a question like that and leaves it as a question, what's the answer? No! You can't walk with somebody you haven't agreed to walk with unless you're just walking in a crowd. I don't know any of these people. Where are you going? I don't know. I'm just going with the flow. Watch out. There's a cliff at the end of that flow. Understand where you're walking and who you're walking with. Enoch formed a righteous character. The result was that he was translated to heaven without seeing death. When the Lord shall come the second time, there will be some who will be translated without seeing death. And we want to know if we will be among that number. That's from manuscript 83, 1886. That's a long time ago. Will we be in that number? Lord, I want to be in that number, right? Mm-hmm. Enoch was taken and his loss was felt on earth. The voice that had been heard day after day in warning and instruction was missed. That's a quote from the same Patriarchs and Prophets, page 88. He had an impact on those around him. Boy, I miss Enoch. Yeah, I wish we'd have listened more. You know, what was it that he said? Oh, he said such and such. And I believe they could remember, because the people in those days had much sharper minds than we do today. It wasn't until way after the flood that they said, you know, we better start doing something to record all of this stuff, or we're going to forget, because our minds are going down the tubes with the rest of our body. And so writing was developed. And we have it in written form today. But we need to take it from the written form and put it up here in our hearts. Walking with God is the opposite of walking away from Him, or walking without Him. It means to be together on the same road, headed in the same direction, keeping pace, whatever the circumstances. Walk when the sky is sunny and fair. Walk when the sun is hidden and the storm is raging. Walk in the light as He is in the light, and keep walking even if the circumstances make the way dark. Walk if the way leads to high places or through the valley of the shadow of death, because He is with us. Keep walking regardless of how you may feel today. Each day of the journey is another opportunity to continue the walk and another step closer to our destination. Keep walking, but be sure you're walking with God. If friends and family entice you to choose another path, don't listen. Stay on the path, the way of life, and walk with God. We're almost home. And that's what happened to Enoch. He walked so close with God, somebody made it simple and said, one day God said, you know, you're so close to me, why don't you just come to my house? And he did. And he's there today. Is he able to listen in as the angels do and know what's happening here, or maybe receive reports of what happened in this worship hour today? I think so. Some form or way, he's aware of what's going on. And any time his message is studied or preached, I think there's an extra special. Hey, down in Honolulu, Manoah. Hey, Manoah, yeah, where's that? Oh, that's down over there. Okay, yeah. They studied about you today and how you walked with God. Well, what did that preacher say? Well, he said such and such. And maybe he's going to say, you know, Mark, you got this right, but the other part, it was way better than that. And tell us firsthand what it was like to walk with Jesus. There are times when we have to listen and sit at the feet of Jesus. But even if you're sitting, you're still walking. It's an ongoing relationship. We're going to sing to close today our first stanza of the hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.